So today we want to talk to you about bring them to me. And I want to look into Exodus chapters 48 through 50, but I'm not going to read all of that. That's for your own time. Usually I'd have these little forms out so you can take notes, but I didn't have that this morning. I've been pressed to get some things done, and yesterday I did try to just take some time to rest before the Lord. I was here for a couple, 3 hours, and just to relax before the Lord and to see what he had for us this morning. And I didn't do a lot of studying, but what I did study was good stuff. Say good stuff.
Good stuff.
And I'm very thankful for that. So if you do have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 48. I am going to read 8 through 20. Genesis. Amen. You what? Make up your mind? Did I say Exodus? Yes, I did. Because I got wrote Exodus down here, so and it's wrong. So I'm glad I didn't bring out those things because you'd all been looking into Exodus. And I said, nope, you're in a wrong chapter. They said, well, that's what you wrote. I just hear Brother Maple. That's what you wrote in there. Amen. Genesis chapter 48, starting with verse 8. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons. We're talking about Jacob, who was renamed Israel. Saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me. Say, given me. In this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all of my life long to this day, the angel has redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let my name, say my name, be named upon them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, my God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Amen. Jacob's blessing was that they should be a blessing. We're talking about Ephraim and Manasseh. An example to the Jewish people for all time. From that day forward, they would become role models for Jewish children everywhere, as they represented qualities to imitate eternally. Ephraim and Manasseh were the grandchildren of Jacob, or Israel, and were elevated by him into positions of land-owning status, becoming two of the 12 tribes of Israel. Their father Joseph, originally himself a member of the 12 tribes, had been sold into slavery by his brothers. How many remember that? Well, a couple of you. The others, you need to get into your Bible and check this out. Originally himself a member of the 12 tribes, had been sold into slavery by his brothers and taken to Egypt. While there, he rose to a position of great importance, heading the overflowing granary of the Egyptian Pharaoh. When a famine threatened to kill Jacob and his other sons in the land of Palestine, they heard that there were lots of food in Egypt and went there only to discover that Joseph was the overseer of that food supply. Amen. Say overseer.
Overseer.
Oh, I'm telling you, there's some great things that happened here. Instead of dealing with them as they deserved, Joseph welcomed the family and provided for them extravagantly. Amen. Now, as a reward, Jacob, or Israel, elevated Joseph. You say, what do you mean he elevated him? He became one of the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Many people never hear about that. They say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But actually, Jacob, what he did, he elevated him up over all of the sons. Okay? It was a blessing. But number two, he did something else. He promoted Joseph's two sons, giving them equal status with his remaining 11 sons. The number came down to 12 when the tribe of Levi relinquished its land-owning status and assumed the role of providing the other tribes with priests. Now, the Holy Spirit was designed or had designed in the Bible so that its stories, like the parables of Jesus, have within them a code, allegory, which reveals the hidden meaning behind the words. The use of a metaphor was very common in the lands of the East at that time. And the Bible story, while the Bible stories were written, and the cone which permeated scripture was cohesive, all-encompassing, and profound. And I'm reading this from an article that I saw. The Israelites, like all ancient people, placed great importance on firstborn sons. Amen? I'm a firstborn son. I don't. But we can see the crucial role this concept had throughout the scriptures. Manasseh was born first, and so should have been preeminent. But an act of deceit reversed the order, resulting in Jacob, or Israel, giving the firstborn blessing to Ephraim instead. Ephraim and Manasseh, in fact, we see in here, he blessed them and said, may you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. You see, the Jewish, all down through the years now, have blessed their children, and on Friday nights, hello, when they do their, what do they call it, Shabbat, Raka, I believe it's called, they bless their children. How many of us are blessing our children? Amen. So when I looked at this, I thought, this is pretty good stuff. In fact, it brought me to tears as the Holy Spirit was revealing some of these things to me. How important the blessing is. Say blessing.
Blessing.
You all need to be blessed. Amen. And there's a proper way of getting blessed. Amen. The Holy Spirit is drawing us to Christ. Amen. And you see that Jesus, he didn't do away with that law, did he? He said, bring the children unto me. And then he said, all of us need to become like children, like little children, to be able to come into the kingdom. So Jesus didn't do away with this. What he did in the New Testament, we see he was not only the Jewish people, but everyone who would come unto him. Say, I'm one. Amen. You're one. Let's just take a look. You got that thing up on there? This is the Jewish blessing in the and they're going to be saying it in their language, okay? If we can get to it. I thought it was pretty neat. And those of the Jewish faith, if they're really practicing, will practice this every week. There you go. See if you can get that bigger. There you go.
Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May God bless you and protect you. May God make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God turn his face toward you and grant you peace. In those ancient words of the priestly blessing, Jewish parents bless their children on Friday night as a living symbol of the continuity of the generations. To a son or grandson, you put your hands on their head and say,
Yisimcha Elohim ke Ephraim v'Menasseh, Yivarechecha Adonai v'Yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavilecha v'Menecha, Yisa Adonai panavilecha v'Yaseimecha Shalom.
To a daughter or granddaughter, you put your hands on their head and say,
Simech Elohim Sarah Rivka Rachel Velea, Yivarechecha Adonai v'Yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavilecha v'Menecha, Yisa Adonai panavilecha v'Yaseimecha Shalom. Simcha Elohim, ke Ephraim Dominashta, Yvarechacha Adonai Vishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha Vichinecha, Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha, Yasei Mecha, Shalom.
Pretty quick and simple, right? What were these qualities of Ephraim and Manasseh? Ephraim and Manasseh were the first brothers among our forefathers, if you will, to live without rivalry. Before them came Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, and of course Joseph's brothers, who sold him as a slave. All relationships distressed with conflict and competition. Ephraim and Manasseh were brothers who lived in harmony. For their life focus was the highest example of working for good for their community and people. Decisions were not based on what is good for me, but what is good for the Jewish people. Concerns of ego were cast aside in favor of something greater. The words of King David would ring true. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to sit peacefully together. Psalms 133:1. This is the hope that God holds for all the Jewish people, and may I add, all Christians. In addition of the 12 sons and their families, these two were the only ones to grow to maturity outside the land of Israel. Yet despite great odds, they still remained steadfast. Steadfast in their commitment to Judaism. We cannot always guarantee that our children will not be exposed to a negative environment. We therefore give them the blessing to be like those who were not tempted by their immoral surroundings and maintain their ethical and righteous behavior. Thus, the qualities exhibited by Ephraim and Manasseh, being united in their quest for the good of all, as well as possessing the strength of character to maintain Jewish values in a non-Jewish environment, became the benchmark for raising Jewish children even thousands of years later. Interesting, isn't it? Why do I say because of their strength of character? Their strength of character through Joseph. Hello, remember, they weren't in with all other Christians, were they? They weren't with the other Jews. They were living in Egypt. Hello. Many of us were living in a world, hello, an environment, took me down a little bit, an environment that is evil. There's no morals. None. We're having problems, aren't we? Amen. Our kids need to have the blessing. Yes. You need to have the blessing. Yes. The blessing. Bring them unto me. Let me bless them. That's what Jacob was doing. Let me bless them. You know, Jacob, even on his deathbed, listen to me. It wasn't Joseph who was in charge. It was Jacob who was in charge. Jacob said, bring them unto me. Why? Because he had a revelation that came from God himself. There's a chain of command. That if we will stay with that chain of command, God will bring forth the blessings that our children need to have. Yes. If you're a parent or a grandparent, especially a grandparent, if I look at my family, when I look at my mother being a Christian, I know, hello, where the chain of command falls. There's no doubt in my heart, no doubt in my mind. That my mother, years ago, when she was 16 years old, hell, when the firstborn son came, and she recognized she missed her mark. She missed it. God had called her into the ministry before she became pregnant with me. She knew she missed the mark. And she said, Lord, I may not be able to do what you called me to do, but will you bless my firstborn son? Brought me out a lot of junk. Amen. And he will do the same for you, and he'll do the same for your children, and he'll do the same for your grandchildren, and those children that may live on beyond that. Yesterday, as I was thinking about this message, I was wondering, and I said, God, could you reveal to me who were the first, who paved the way that I would come to know you?
Are you giving us the blessing? Yes. Ephraim and Manasseh worked together for the good of all mankind, if you will. Now, if you look at this, the older was serving the younger. How is it that the greater blessing, these two still work together? It reminds me, if you will, an allegory, if you will, a symbol, if you will, years down, and you could go down from time history, and I don't have the time to go through with you all that I learned in these last few days concerning this, but the truth of the matter is, the symbol of Ephraim and Manasseh, the younger, was going to be over the older. Listen to me. If you get a picture with me here, God and the Holy Spirit was showing us and showing me from this time is that we're talking about Judaism and we're talking about Christianity. If you're a Christian, you're going to love the Jew. And Christianity is over 101 concerning the Jew. But yet you love the Jew because you've been grafted in. Hello? Come on now. And we work together with them. Oh, United States, be careful. If you stop working together with Israel, come on, there's going to be some problems. We know there's going to be a remnant saved, and I believe I'm a part of it. I believe that you can be a part of it. If you're not, you should be.
Amen.
Hello? But there's going to be some problems. You're going to have your character tested all day long. And your children are watching to see what you do with that character. And how you're going to respond to different situations. Ephraim and Manasseh, they proved the test. They got through it. That's why the Jews pray. May you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. I like that. That excites me. They are the benchmark. May you be like Jacob and Esau. No. Amen. There was problems. Hello? Abraham was chosen over his older brother. Hello? You can go down. You see Isaac. You see Ishmael. You see the flesh and you see the spirit and the symbolic the things are here. I just like it. Jesus said in Mark 10, 13 through 16, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he said, surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. And he blessed them. First time I got hold of Noah, last Wednesday, our little grandson. And he smiled. Eyes were wide open. Maybe he had an idea of what I was going to do. I wrapped him up in my arms. Where's my oil? Brother Henry, right away, I'm blessing that child. I'm blessing them. Your children need to be blessed by you. You need to speak things into their lives that may not be seen at this time. They can be just as rebellious as can be, but you're saying, no, I believe what God says about my child. And I'm going to bless them. I'm going to ask God that your face shine upon them.
Oh, somebody get a hold of this morning. Yes.
There's times I want to grab them. Some of you have heard me say this before. I was in Oregon. I was really watching this. Amen. And I'm on a treadmill. And I'm watching my daughter as she's taking care of watching over the two grandkids. They weren't too big at that time, but they were watching. Of course, that's probably supposed to be my job, because I can't remember where my wife is at. But we were home alone with Vanessa, and she said something to the grandchildren. I thought, well, that wasn't very nice. It's kind of rude. I went to say something to her, and the Holy Spirit put me in check. And he said this. She's just acting like you. She's responding how you would respond. So little to say, I was starting repenting. And then I used that as an example to help her at the same time. Honey, I want you to know that that's not the proper way, but I want you to know I'm guilty. I am guilty. Forgive me. Huh? Because you've seen me respond that way. That's kind of like I said, don't do as I do, just do as I say. And every one of you probably either thought it or have said it. Amen. The blessing. I believe our children need to hear us forgive one another. And if they don't see it, then they're not going to know how to do it when they need to respond in that manner. Amen. There's a blessing that comes as they learn from you. As you begin to teach them the proper way to respond to certain relationships. Hello. Yes, I was angry at mommy. Well, I want you to know, we made up. She forgave me. Well, how do I know? Because I said it in front of her. If I did it in front of my children, then I should at least be mad enough to be able to do it and to respond by forgiveness and asking for being sorry. Amen? Come on now. I need to be sorry for what I said or what I did. And I will let pride get in. Well, I can do that with my children. They need to know how to take care of things themselves too. So that when they get in a relationship, they can respond in a way that's going to benefit all those involved. Caring about the other person. Who needs a blessing? I don't want to go to that pastor. My goodness, every time I go to him, he's just, You know what? Ephraim and Vanessa, they were two boys who were able to prove their true strength of character. How does one know if a fish is healthy? It can swim upstream against the tide of society. How about you? In this day and age, what do your children see in you? What do your grandchildren see in you? Hopefully my grandchildren, because I don't know if I still got my children there, and there's times that they will call or they will text, amen. And I pray blessings upon them when sometimes I say, why are you doing it this way? And I want to say something. And Sister Daisy will do this. Because I could get angry. I could lose my temper. And then there's times, let me handle it. Let me deal with it. Let me deal with the spiritual aspect. Yes, I don't get it right all the time. Neither do you. Amen. But trust me enough that I can get down to the nitty-gritty, because that's where they're living. I need a blessing over them. And God wants to bless them even more than I do. There's times I forget the blessing. What do you do with your children?
Well, we love, we do this, this, this,
children what the boundaries are, and then love them, embrace them, and bless them.
Oh, sweet Jesus. When I was thinking about this again, I thought, how many of my forefathers actually lived for Christ? Because I don't know of any. How many of you? How many did your parents live for Christ? How many are, you know, uplifting of your hands, the first generation of living for Christ? One, two, okay. Three. It's tough. It can be tough because you have to really rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you. In fact, there's going to be times you're hearing voices, if you're hearing because of the negativeness that's been throughout the family. Hello. You're having to deal with all that influence that came upon you because you didn't know how to do the right way. You didn't. You just survived. God does not want you to just survive. God wants you to have the life that's more abundant. And not only that, not only does he want to teach you that life, abundant life, but now he wants you to live it and teach it to your children. And I'm telling you what, if you're a first generation, it is tough. Because you see all that evil past that was there who did not follow after Christ. And you being the firstborn, if you will, spiritually, it's tough. It's tough for my children, even though they're not a firstborn. And the things that I had, that I do, hello, to stay on top of it, because what? Because Satan wants you back.
Yes.
Hello. I'm thankful that I have a mother who was the first woman that I know of who gave their life to Christ. In my generation, hell. But for a male, it's even doubly hard. Why? Because you're supposed to be the spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. When God asks you to do things, amen, and you haven't got any copy from above, hell, all you say, here it is, here's the word. And pastor might be the only Bible that you might see. And then I got these guys to worry about. Hello. That's a responsibility that's doubly tough. Hello. When you didn't see in your mama, when you didn't see in your papa, hello, until later on, some till later on, and some you'll never see it. And some will never change. They're just glad for salvation, but when it comes to true character, hey, listen to me. You're going to have some good character today. Because you're going to have to stand up for your morals. You're going to have to stand up for your beliefs. And right now, many children, many God's children are going down. Why are they going down? Because they're refusing to stand up when they're tested. It's coming.
Yes.
But has it come in your life? It will.
Yes.
Believe me, it has. You just haven't owned up to it.
Yes.
Say, I love you, Pastor. Love you, Pastor. Hallelujah. God's got a blessing. I wonder today, how many of you say, Pastor, lay hands on me. Bless me. Bless me today. You see, because what we're going to do later, we're going to call them back out. And you're going to bless them. This is our Friday night, if you will. We're going to practice it. Amen. And if you're not doing it weekly, do it weekly. If you need to. And you know what you do? That woman's been getting C's and D's. All of a sudden they come home and they get a B. But I just want to whisper in there and say, congratulations. That was a kid. I really appreciate that. You know what? They're like that. You'd be surprised what that'll do for a child. Some of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. Man, I'm telling you, we had a couple of teenagers in here, man, they were out here and they were working, helping us guys here. I want to pat them on the back every once in a while. Go ahead, have an extra drink. Have an extra Gatorade. Amen. You want to eat? Oh, they like to eat too, amen. Just have a little bit more. Are you not here eating again? Go ahead. Might have to give an extra break or two. Amen. Why? They're out here on their time. What teenager do you know that can know their time of work? Where's the money? Show me the money. Amen. I'm showing you a blessing. I'm showing you a reward.
Yeah.
Man, there's going to be rewards for you. Amen. That's when the pastor called, he needed something to do. I came down. I had some time. Why? Because I was going through it. And I needed to be by the pastor. I needed to be by him. I needed to know how he handled things. I needed to know why he always had a smile on his face. Boy, did he get discouraged once? Oh, yes, but man, all of a sudden he'd start to pray. Sometimes he'd be praying in English, sometimes he'd pray in the Spirit. Next thing you know, here comes that smile again. How does he do that? Huh? He was the Bible that I needed. He was the Jesus that I needed. I could sit in the back and I could see Jesus in his eyes. And I wanted that. One time I got up out of my chair during song service. And the pastor was leading the song service. He was down off the platform kind of like this. And he was leading the song service. I'm going, oh, Lord. And I just went up. And he met me about halfway. Boy, I needed that hug. Huh? I started being beaten down. I was doing nothing but myself. Hello. Just needed love. I needed that blessing. He didn't scold me. No, you're out of turn right now. Come on now. Worship that. Oh, come on, we're out of turn here. Huh? I had to let go of my pride, man. I needed it right now. One time, Brother Henry, I was in service. And I just wanted what everybody else had. I was a young Christian. And all of a sudden, the evangelist was gone, and all of a sudden, I just started crying out. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I couldn't stop saying it. That take me back. They took me out of service. So I know what it is because most of the service. Brother Jerry, they prayed with me. They're trying to cast out demons and everything else. Brother Henry, I'm kind of like a fool back there. I was going through some emotional problems. Amen. Well, if you do some of the stuff that the devil has weighed out me, the burdens that I had, amen. I needed a blessing. I needed a blessing, Lexi. I needed a blessing. I needed a blessing. I might look up there and not walk. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Every day I walk into that service, or every time those doors were open, I look up there, God, this is what your word says. It's right there in front of me. It's like it's on my forehead. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto me. I cried out, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I didn't care what anybody else thought. All I cared about is what he thought. I needed a blessing. Some of you got some kids or grandkids hooked on, addicted to prescription medicine, or addicted to some other drug, cocaine, meth. I got a brother who's been dabbling in it himself. Almost 50 years old. Backslid. He come to Lord, he backslide again. Come to Lord, he backslide again. Why? Because he wouldn't stand up to the society. This world.
God spared his life the other day. That motorcycle accident. Had him in a coma for 2 or 3 days. Lost his ear. They had to reattach his ear. My mother, the night before, had been praying, God, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Bring him back to the cross. Whatever it takes, Jesus.
much more he was in that accident. Three times the legal limit.
Of drunkenness. And he was mad at his girlfriend. Wonder what it was about. Don't need to know. All I know is a mother's prayer. Bring him back, Lord. Bless him. Do whatever it takes. Woo, glory to God. Amen. May God bless you and watch over you. May God shine his face toward you and show you favor. May God be favorably minded toward you, and may he grant you peace.
That's what every Christian needs, is peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keeping their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, amen, and amen. The blessing. Who needs a blessing? I need a blessing. Who needs a blessing? You need a blessing. And if you can't do it for yourself, do it for your children. When the altars are called up, do your children need anything? Do your grandchildren need anything? Don't tell this mama who knows what it is to have a child sitting where he's sitting. It hurts. He needs a blessing. Father, I pray you'll send those who are Christians right there, because you got them there. Surround him with other Christians. Surround him with those that know your word and will share your word with him, that he might be changed, just like all of us. Bless him. Find favor. I want my grandkids to be like me. I want my children to be like me. My wife said last night, she said, "See, I see Noah looks a little bit like you." I said, "Oh, that one's fine." Right there. Is it? I didn't think that was very funny. She could have said, "It's the eyes and the mouth, or even the nose." You know what I'm saying? But yeah, all the fun.
We love her.
Praise God. Years ago, we don't always understand how the Holy Spirit speaks to us at times. We don't figure it out right away, but years later we might. And Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit, and he says, "Your son's going to be a lot like you." And I'm thinking, "Well, that's going to be interesting. I don't have a son." And when Danessa showed up, I thought, And I'm thinking about Ryan too. Then I got to thinking a little bit more, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. You got children like you? I'm not talking about your own children. I'm talking about those you've led to Christ. Talk about those you have led to Christ. Are they like you? See, I hope there's a whole lot of them that are like me. The Apostle Paul said, "Be like me. As I follow Christ, all my children, be like me." Do we? Amen? Do we? Amen. Am I what I need to be? Would I be proud to say they are like me? And if we're not there yet, may they be like me as I follow Christ. Amen? Because we as human beings, we will miss the mark. Amen? But I can pray for them. I can bless them. Amen? I can bless them. Don't be like me. Hello. Just do as I say. I don't cut it. in the Christian life. God wants your children and your grandchildren to be like you if you are following Christ. And if you're not following Christ, I ask you this question, why not? Why are we not following the principles that God has given in His Word? Bless them, Lord. God, I need a blessing. I need a blessing that you will change me like Jesus Christ so that my children can be like you. Because more likely they will want to be like you. I don't want them to be like the old me. I don't want them to look out at their son or their daughter while they're on the treadmill.
Well, they're acting just like you.
Obviously,
yeah, they're acting just like you.
I said, praise the Lord, amen, glory to God. I don't like the rebuke. How many of you like the rebuke? None of us do, amen. You gotta love me. Come on. Everyone say this. Pastor.
Pastor.
I loved you.
I loved you.
I saw three or four. I heard three or four.
If we're going to advance in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to follow Him. And follow His Word. You know, I got not this church. But the church as a whole. It has declined so much in the last 10 years. Yes. Church attendance. Not me. In the last 10 years, my attendance has been better. Say, Pastor.
Pastor.
Quit meddling. You're all thinking it anyway. My job is to meddle. My job is to meddle. Like I said, my wife sometimes, she does not want me to meddle in my kids' life. Because she loves them. She doesn't want them to get offended. Hello? Meddle in your kids' life! Their soul, their spirit is at stake. Bless them! Little Johnny,
that wasn't right. Shame on you.
No, get the shame off of them. Get the shame off of them. Bless them. Call them up. Hug them. Bless them. The devil, you're going to have to settle down here in the name of Jesus.
No, no, no. Devil, loose my child.
Why is it? I'm playing Israel right now. I'm playing Jacob right now. Hello. You've given me the authority in the name of Jesus, Father. So in the name of Jesus, this devil that's... Hello, come on. Yes. You're going to leave him alone in the name of Jesus. Yes. My house will be a house of prayer. Yes. As far as being my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes. You need to take authority.
Yes. Am I preaching you right? I thought I was preaching pretty good.
Yeah. Amen. I take authority. Hello. If my husband won't do it, I will do it. If my wife won't do it, I will do it. Hello. Come on now. God can use anybody that's willing.
Sister Daisy, would you come?
Well, to me...